Thank you. Let's all be seated. Well, good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Our first case is in regards to the conditional use permit application of Mark Bauman. As all parties are aware, the appellant will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief, respondent will have 15 minutes, and then finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever you're ready, counsel for the appellant can approach the podium. It goes up and down. Adjust the microphone to your level, and please tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice.
Thank you, Judge Connolly.
You're welcome.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Anderson. My name is Mark Thiroff, and I represent the relators in this case, Aaron and Ken Milton. This case presents issues that are strictly legal, which of course means that the court's review is de novo.
Well, lucky you.
Yes. I hope so. The primary issue in the case is the question of whether the proposed trap ranges in this case met the definition of commercial outdoor recreation in the zoning ordinance. It's undisputed that if the trap ranges did not meet that definition, that it was arbitrary and capricious to grant a conditional use permit to allow that use.
It does meet the definition of commercial outdoor recreation, but perhaps not commercial outdoor. Is that accurate?
Commercial
argument, isn't it?
Commercial outdoor recreation, and perhaps I hope I didn't misspeak, but perhaps I did. Commercial outdoor recreation is the use that the CUP was granted under. And commercial outdoor recreation is defined by reference to another defined term, which is commercial recreation. Commercial recreation requires that the use is privately owned and operated with the intention of earning a profit by providing entertainment for the public. You then have commercial outdoor recreation, which is a subset of the commercial recreation uses.
And I guess that was my question, counsel. You know, they are two separate provisions, 118 and 119. So I was wondering, how do you get the fact that outdoor recreation is a subset of commercial recreation?
Because, Your Honor, you can see in the definition, I don't know if you have it there, it sounds like you may, that 119, recreation, comma, commercial outdoor, starts with the term commercial recreation and then goes on to add the additional language which requires large land areas or location in a rural setting. So commercial recreation is the root of the definition of commercial outdoor recreation. And commercial recreation is a defined term. We know from section 115.
I appreciate that argument, but normally when we would see an argument that you're making, at least in different statutory provisions, you know, we would sort of see commercial recreation, you know, which includes the following, you know, A, B, C, D, and E. So we would have to rely then on, in subdivision 19, that discusses commercial outdoor recreation, that is a subset merely because commercial recreation are the first two words where they discuss commercial outdoor recreation. Would that be a fair statement?
It is a fair statement, Your Honor, but I'd also like to point out that we have another provision in this same section says that when there is a defined term used in this ordinance, you must apply it according to the definition provided in the ordinance. And that's right there in section 115.03A5. And this is a common practice in the Wright County zoning ordinance. Last night as I was preparing for the hearing, I took a peek through the definition section, which is included in the record in a couple of places. It is record document 98, and it's also in the county's addendum. And I saw a whole host of these examples. For example, the definition of bed and breakfast starts off with single-family dwelling. Single-family dwelling is a defined term to mean a detached building, minimum 800 square feet, and so forth. So it simply incorporates into the definition of bed and breakfast all the things it takes to constitute a single-family dwelling. Same thing with private garage. Starts off with the term accessory building, which is a defined term. Farm accessory mobile home starts off with the definition of mobile home. So you have to, in looking at the definitions, you have to look for words that are also defined and reference those definitions in the list of definitions in the ordinance.
Mr. Thurow, assuming then that 118, the recreation commercial, would apply under that explanation you just provided, is there any evidence in the record to indicate that the shooting club is not profitable, even though it's a nonprofit from an IRS tax standpoint?
Your Honor, the requirement in the ordinance and the definition of commercial recreation is that it's operated with the intention of earning a profit. So we're talking about the nature of the entity. And by statute, a nonprofit corporation cannot operate with the intent of earning a profit. Simply by virtue of being a Minnesota nonprofit corporation and registered as such.
Is that defined elsewhere, though, what it means, intention to earn a profit? I'm assuming, for instance, I understand the CEOs of Goodwill make a pretty good paycheck, and so there must be a cash flow. They're profitable in the sense of black versus red. Is there any definition that would direct this court to look at in the ordinance for those use of those words?
Not in the ordinance, Your Honor. We did cite to the language in the nonprofit corporations statute that says that a nonprofit corporation cannot generate a profit. And to your point about the pay at Goodwill, I think we need to draw a distinction between positive revenue and what you do with your revenue and profit. A corporation's profits are what it distributes to its shareholders. Paying your costs, whether that be staff, salaries, cost of doing business, rent, that's positive money coming in, but that's not profit. Profit is corporate distributions. And the ordinance is requiring, to meet the definition of a commercial recreation use, that you are a for-profit business. You are out there trying to make money for yourself and your shareholders. And that's just simply not the case with a statutory Minnesota nonprofit corporation. The trap ranges also don't meet the requirement in the ordinance that they provide entertainment for the public. This is a private organization. Members of the public can't just show up and say, hey, I'd like to book a range for a half an hour and do some shooting. And in fact, the Planning Commission, in its
condition- on that point, being open to the public, can anyone join? I mean, what are the requirements to join this organization? Do you just pay $50 and you're in?
There are dues. I believe there may be some requirement to demonstrate. I don't know anything for certain, Your Honor, beyond dues paying.
Okay.
So that's not in the record.
So it's a little different from sort of maybe, you know, a country club where, you know, you can be voted in or voted down. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think on this point, Your Honor, we don't need to look any further than the definition of commercial recreation because it gives examples of commercial recreational uses that are that provide entertainment for the public. And it talks about bowling alleys, driving ranges, and movie theaters. All of these are businesses open to all comers. If you show up during the opening the hours that they're open, you can go in and partake in the entertainment that they provide. That is not the case at this range. You have to not only be a member, you have to have a key. There's no staff there. You just go and let yourself in and shoot and lock up when you leave. And the Planning Commission specifically stated in its conditions that this operation shall not be open to the public. You have to be a member or be there with a member. So it's a very different enterprise than something like a movie theater or a bowling alley that, as I said before, takes all comers.
Well, Mr. Thurow, you do have the definition of driving range as an example, recreation commercial, and I understand at least this portion of this driving range is in the Wright County side, whereas there... the pre-existing was in the Hennepin County side, if I understand the facts correctly.
Shooting ranges, not driving ranges.
Well, my question is this. Are there examples of public versus private driving ranges that you're aware that they used in this definition or that the record would indicate to give us to look at in terms of trying to define or understand the definition of those terms?
I would answer that question this way, Your Honor. I don't know that we need to find both of those as a possibility. What we have is an ordinance that only that the only possibility under the ordinance is ones that are open to the public. So if the response is, well, this can't be right because what about private ones? The answer to that is the county has not provided for private driving ranges. And, you know, one of the things about this case is that the Planning Commission, in a sense, is at war with its own ordinance. You know, they were told at the very beginning of this case, before four public hearings and all the work that was done, the ordinance does not allow this use. And had the Planning Commission told the applicant that up front, the applicant could have gone to the Board of Commissioners and applied to amend the ordinance and made their pitch that surely we should be allowed to put our property to this use. You need to add something to the ordinance to allow it. And the issues could have been vetted in front of the policy-making body of elected officials.
Mr. Thuroff, is what you're just saying now in the record, that someone gave them the heads up?
Absolutely. Okay. My letter to the Planning Commission in advance of the first public meeting is in the record and contains all the arguments I'm making here today.
Thank you, Mr. Thuroff.
The second issue for the court's consideration is this issue of the parking lot surface that was approved by the Planning Commission. It's our position that the Planning Commission acted arbitrarily and capricious again in this regard by allowing and approving a parking lot surface that's specifically not allowed under the zoning ordinance. The zoning ordinance states that non-residential uses, quote, shall utilize asphalt, concrete, or other surface water sealed as approved by the zoning administrator. The applicant came in with plans that had gravel as the material they were going to use. They specifically said, we want to use gravel. Again, the Planning Commission was told, you can't allow that. And the Planning Commission proceeded to approve a parking lot and allowed them to use gravel. The Planning Commission does not have the authority to change the ordinance, and it doesn't have the authority to grant variances. That's something that's done by the Board of Adjustment. And in fact, the applicant didn't even apply for a variance. The county says that this decision isn't final because the applicant, according to the county, still has to propose the surface material it wants to use to the zoning administrator. And they say that the zoning administrator could then, you know, decide not to allow gravel. That's not accurate. The Planning Commission here has expressly approved gravel. Its decision is final, pending this appeal, and there's no further approvals necessary to build the parking lot or the clubhouse or the ranges. The zoning administrator is not involved in any way in issuing building permits. There's a suggestion that they'd have to go in and get a building permit, and that would give the zoning administrator an opportunity to address this issue. But as I said, the zoning administrator is not involved in issuing building permits.
Is there any evidence in the record to indicate that the gravel type, to use that phrase broadly, they're intending is unable to be water sealed, or is that something that gets determined at a later date?
Gravel is not one of the surface materials that could be approved in the first place. So we don't need to look at the issue of whether it could be water sealed, although I think just as a matter of our own experience in the world, I think we all would find it rather difficult to contemplate the notion that you could use a sealant on gravel. The county's other argument is that this issue isn't big enough. It's not important enough to reverse the grant of the conditional use permit. To that we say it's one of its conditions, and the conditions are an integral part of a conditional use permit. I'm sure this court has seen many cases where a CUP is challenged at this court and upheld because the conditions are sufficient to address the concerns that were raised by the challengers. So the conditions are an integral part of the permit. In their opposition brief, the county also pointed out, or made the argument anyhow, that because the applicant met the criteria for a CUP in the ordinance, according to them, they had to grant it, and to not grant it based on this gravel use would have been itself to exercise an arbitrary and capricious capricious decision. Pardon me.
I think we got it.
Decision making. And when I saw that argument, I thought about it, and I looked at the ordinance and saw that, in fact, approving the parking lot with gravel makes it impossible to make one of the required findings that they had to make. One of them is the commission had to find that there are adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, and other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. Well, under the ordinance, one of those necessary facilities is a properly paved off-street parking lot. So by approving a parking lot that does not have an allowable surface, the Planning Commission has not ensured that all the necessary facilities have been provided, and basing its decision on that renders that decision arbitrary and capricious.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thurow. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, please. It does go up and down.
I'm a lawyer, not a technician.
I'm sure I couldn't operate that if my life depended on it.
May it please the court, Mr. Thuroff. My name is Scott Anderson. I'm here representing the county. A couple of things that Mr. Thuroff said in regard to the gravel parking lot are just so flat out wrong. I want to address them because I think that issue can be addressed and determined unequivocally with reference to only three provisions of the zoning ordinance. First, and as we've said, the provision on parking 155.081, page 58 of exhibit 98, A is what we're talking about. It has four sentences. The last sentence is the one that Mr. Thuroff has been focusing on. It says, durable and dustless surface may include crushed rock and similar treatment for parking accessory to 1, 2, 3, and 4 unit residential structures. All other uses should utilize asphalt, concrete, or other surface, water sealed, as approved by the zoning administrator. And the first sentence sets out the requirement for a surface. All off-street parking shall be approved with durable and dustless surface. That fourth sentence is, think of it as a permitted use versus a conditional use. It says, and remember, it never uses the word gravel. It says that if you're a residence of 1 to 4 units, you can have crushed rock. That's like a permitted use. Anything else, it's like a conditional use. You got to get permission of the zoning administrator. We know gravel and crushed rock are not the same. Mr. Thuroff kind of glosses over that fact. But if you go to the definitions, Exhibit 98, page 5, probably. It's the definition of access.
Is that in the addendum or is that in the record?
It's in the record. It's exhibit 98. It's the definition of, I've lost my place. Here it is. It's access drive, page 5. Access drive, page 5. Here's what access drive says, and I think it's important. It says, an improved area of any lot, or parcel, which is used for vehicular access or parking. So it's the driveway, the parking area, drives improved solely with gravel or rock materials will not be counted for lot coverage. So right there we have two things. We can see that gravel and rock are different. Just like we cited to the addendum, and the addendum page 20 and 21 has MnDOT specs. Aggregate is defined and it includes gravel, rock, and a lot of other things. And then there's a separate definition for gravel. Gravel and crushed rock are not the same thing. They simply aren't. And to say that gravel is not allowed It's belayed by the definition for an access drive. Gravel is certainly allowed all over the county. It has to be approved. Crushed rock, if you want to use it for residences 1 to 4, you don't even need approval. Anything else, you need approval. It is wrong to say the zoning administrator is not involved in issuing building permits. That's flat out wrong. Section 1557 or 155.075B1 says the zoning administrator for all building permits must determine whether or not they meet the specifications of the zoning ordinance. The county board didn't decide gravel could be used. They said gravel or bituminous. In other words, they're not. It's so consistent. The zoning administrator decides, and the board is saying, well, okay, they have proposed gravel. Clearly, they proposed gravel. They proposed it, condition 5, gravel or bituminous, something like that. It's up to the zoning administrator. This thing on parking is flat out wrong.
Mr. Anderson, so are you saying we should not be focusing at all on the fact that gravel is not other material water sealed? That's just a red herring, or is your argument more like, well, it hasn't been decided yet, so we don't have to worry about it?
Well, I did have the argument it hasn't been decided yet, so. It's a little bit early to worry about it, but what does the word sealed mean? You know, Mr. Thiroff here goes through this whole thing without giving definitions to words. We give definitions, they're common and ordinary meaning. Certainly, Judge Slater, you understood that when you asked about profit. Profit is not defined as me being distributed to someone. That's a different thing. Profit in Black's Law means an excess of revenue over expenditures. That's it. Everybody and their mom wants profit. How you distribute it is a different thing. Public in a dictionary, it could mean the entire world. It could. But it also clearly is defined to mean a group of people with a common interest or aim. So you might hear a phrase, the book-buying public, or you might hear a phrase, the gun-toting public. That's clearly a use of it. Clearly a use of it.
Are there any requirements to...
Can I finish the sealed?
Oh, yes.
Sealed simply means, I'm looking for where I had my definitions. Sealed simply means, and I think I screwed it up here, but it means to...
Water sealed.
Well, sealed. So you got to look at the word water, you got to look at the word sealed. Sealed means to make it a surface so that things will roll off it, basically. I'm not using the dictionary definition because I had it written down and lost it. But so, you know, Mr. Thiroff went to, well, common things we all know. You know, you put down gravel and you compact it. That's how it's sealed. I mean, if you've ever driven on a gravel road in Minnesota, you would know that if they did not compact that road, it would be a mushy mess. You'd never get through it because it would be mud. You put gravel down, you compact it with equipment. That's what you do. So the first argument, too, the main argument here that the realtor has made is that this use is not allowed in the district at all because you have to import commercial recreation into outdoor commercial recreation. And I think Judge Connolly or Judge Smith, one of you, indicated, well, isn't it, if we look at the definition, if we look at what's allowed in an ag district, clearly a shooting range would be allowed. The only way it's not allowed is if you, A, import the definition that Mr. Thiroff says you should, and B, accept his interpretation of it.
Mr. Anderson, on that point, go ahead.
I wanted to ask about this. I was looking at commercial use or conditional uses under various categories in the ordinance.
Yes.
And in some places it's defined as commercial outdoor recreation, and in others commercial recreation.
Yes.
Now, in the agricultural portion, is it defined, and I couldn't find it,
yeah.
Is it defined as commercial outdoor recreation or commercial recreation?
It's what's allowed in the ag district is commercial outdoor recreation. It's in the conditional use B13.
Okay.
It's number 13. What you'll see is, and this is, again, Mr. Thiroff, we can go to what he says his definitions are, but he's ignoring all the rules of statutory construction here. So we have five districts where commercial outdoor recreation is allowed. It's the Ag District, the Ag Residential, the R1, the R2, and the R2A. Okay. Then we have two districts where commercial recreation is allowed, and that's the two business districts, the highway business and then the general business district. I mean, you're supposed to look at a zoning ordinance as a whole. These things are meant to be different, and they're meant to be applicable in a different area. Let's look at the definition, because Mr. Thiroff says import part of it, but not all of it. See what happens if we import the definition.
Well, before we get to that, just that
yes,
I'm clear,
yes.
This is an ag district that specifically allows commercial outdoor recreation. Is that a fair statement?
Say that one more time.
So this, where this land is an agricultural district, so that does allow commercial outdoor recreation.
Absolutely, positively, no issue about that, and
it hasn't been argued
otherwise.
Well,
and so
as I understand it, when you said Eureka, that's all we need to know to resolve this issue, right?
I think so.
Okay, fair enough.
Mr. Thiroff has put arguments to say it's much more complicated than that. But if we look at...
Right.
Well, I don't think he's right. Here's the first thing. We don't interpret an ordinance in a way that makes it a conflict with itself. So clearly, they're attempting to put commercial recreation and outdoor commercial recreation in different areas. There's never been a focus on what those two say. Commercial outdoor recreation is those involving large areas. We know that. But also in rural settings such as golf course, driving range, flea markets, shooting ranges, and the like, or such as, always means things similar in nature. Notice one thing about them. They're all outside, and they're all things that are done during the day. Commercial recreation, movie theaters, driving ranges, got it, that can be outside, bowling alleys, such as. So let's think about that such as. What else might such as be? A playhouse, a pool hall, a dance hall, a Buster and Dave's amusement place, a laser tag area? In other words, things that are done indoors at any time, which is what happens in a business district. Any time. Business districts go later than rural settings. Suddenly, we have a definition, according to Mr. Thiroff, that says basically this. It's all uses such as bowling alley, driving range, movie theaters that are privately owned and operated with the intention of earning a profit by providing entertainment for the public, as well as golf courses, driving ranges, flea markets, shooting ranges, and the like. You have this irreconcilable conflict put right into it, number one. Number two, even if he were right and you put them together, I already gave the definitions. Profit is not defined as he defines it. Profit means revenue over expenditures. Public is not defined as he says it. It can be a group of people with a common aim. And therefore, this club meets it. And in fact, you couldn't interpret those words any other way, even in commercial recreation. Or what you've done is said, Wright County is violating the law. I've done zoning as long as Mr. Thiroff has. We've both done it a long time. How can you justify saying, I'll put it in the equal protection context. I'm a private golf club. I want to have members. It's going to be, you buy in, you get voted in. I want 80 acres. Right next door, someone applies for 80 acres for a public course, open to anyone, no membership. According to Mr. Thiroff, they both come before the board at the same time. So we'll put it in the one case in Minnesota that said there might be an equal protection violation. Same night they come up. I gotta grant one, I gotta deny the other. That's an equal protection violation. What if I'm a church? I'm a Lutheran church. I say that because I'm Lutheran. And I want to, for the kids, I want to have an obstacle course type ropes course. It's just a daytime thing, so it's not a retreat center. It's not open to anyone but my Lutheran church members. I'm not allowed to have that. I'm not allowed, according to him, the way he wants you to read that clause. I think that's a First Amendment violation. And what if I were, let's put it into gun range, what if I were an NRA gun range? I want to have a gun range only for NRA members. I don't know much about the Second Amendment, honestly. Only what I read. I've never done a case involving it. But maybe that's a Second Amendment violation. You do not interpret zoning provisions in a way that violates the law. Everything Mr. Thieroff is arguing here does, it twists this thing on its side. It makes everything illegal and conflicting. It avoids every rule of statutory construction, and even his own arguments don't hold up when you look at the definitions of the words. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Thieroff, you will have rebuttal, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. I want to start with Judge Connolly, your question about is this a permitted use in the commercial in the ag district. It is a conditionally permitted use, and that's why they needed the conditional use permit. So that's the beginning of the analysis rather than the end.
Let me ask this way. How do you square your argument about commercial outdoor recreation versus commercial when the ordinance uses different definitions for each category?
Your Honor, it doesn't use different definitions.
But it uses a different term. In one place, it uses commercial outdoor recreation, and in another, it uses commercial recreation.
Your Honor, those are two distinct uses. They're two totally different uses. The reason we're here is because the commercial outdoor recreation use, a distinct use, incorporates as part of its definition commercial recreation. So commercial recreation is the starting point of the definition. If you can't meet the definition of commercial recreation, you can't meet the definition of commercial outdoor recreation, even if you meet the additional.
Why do they use different terms in the ordinance then?
They're two distinct uses, Your Honor. The commercial recreation uses are the uses similar to those listed here. They've listed some recreational uses, and that meet the additional requirement that they're privately owned and they're operated with an intention to earn a profit and they provide entertainment by the public. That's the starting point. That's the category of uses called commercial uses. We then have commercial outdoor uses, and those are a subset of the commercial recreation uses that have the additional characteristic of requiring a large area or a location in a rural setting. So they're two distinct uses. I want to touch on this argument about violating the law. I'd firstly like to point out that none of what you heard about the First Amendment and equal protection and all the other arguments that were made about this violating the law has ever been briefed. I'm hearing it for the first time, just as you are. And I also want to point out that that's precisely what I meant when I said the Planning Commission's at war with its own ordinance. The argument that council made to you is precisely the argument that should have been made to the Board of Commissioners to say, hey, your ordinance doesn't allow this use. We think it should allow this use. It's a good, sensible use. Amend your ordinance. And if those arguments had prevailed, they would have done so, and there would have been a permissible conditional use for this applicant to apply for. Now, council does not dispute and did not contest the notion that the zoning ordinance itself and the case law say if you've got a defined term, you have to apply it. And so we have to apply the defined term commercial recreation at the beginning of the definition of commercial outdoor recreation and make sure that it complies with that as well. On the issues relating to the parking lot, we heard an argument that compacted is basically the same thing as sealed. If the ordinance was looking for a compacted surface, it would have said so. A sealed surface is one that's been subject to an additional form of treatment to give it a seal. Those are not the same thing. But the principal point on the parking is this idea that we heard that all they have to do is show or have a durable and dustless surface. Council argued that that's what applies to all of them. So I just want to be clear, and I hope that if you don't have the ordinance in front of you, you'll look at it before reaching your conclusion in this case, because it says, durable and dustless surface may include crushed rock and similar treatment for parking accessory to residential uses. All other uses shall utilize asphalt, concrete, or other water-sealed surface. So that language at the end that relates to all other uses, non-residential uses, that's what we're concerned with. And if durable and dustless was all that we needed, and on the zoning administrator issue, I looked at that statute last night before coming here today and telling you that the zoning administrator plays no role in the issuance of building permits. That was my reading last night. I unfortunately don't have the statute with, or the ordinance with me this morning to read to you, but I maintain that that's what that ordinance says, and if that issue is pivotal to your decision, I'd respectfully request that you consult the ordinance on that issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thiroff. Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. The matter was well briefed and well argued and is now submitted. Our next